I'm gonna go walk my imaginary dog around the block.
Yes. The lab.
Yeah. No, the
lab.
The Dobie.
The lab.
Oh, Doberman.
Lab.
No, big Doberman. Object.
The theories expressed are not the only possible interpretation. Viewers are invited to make a judgment based on all available information.
Everyone watching now, please share this link via the sidebar to any and all of your social media channels. This is important. Simply ask your friends and family to give us 15 minutes. That's all we ask.
Wake up, wake up. It's the first of the month, so cash them checks and get up. Hey, it's the first of the month, and I'm starting off a podcast already. How exciting, huh? 2024, an abundance, an avalanche of everything I ever wanted and more flows through my door. Yes, it does. I mean, here we are. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to Where the Sidewalk Ends, the unconventional podcast. Predictably unpredictable. And my name is Jasper. I am your host. And man, I think we got some good stuff going on today. From a global aspect, the horoscope theme today, it's time to speak with confidence, right? Perfectionist Venus, it faces off against critical Saturn, creating tense energy and the potential for clashing ideals. Communicative Mercury then stations direct at 10:08 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you didn't know, after being retrograde in Sagittarius, which pushes us to say what's really on our minds. Rather than keeping quiet for the sake of appearance, fortunately, the sensitive moon then trines adaptable Uranus, allowing us to pivot away from any issues we can't immediately solve. There is time to heal while we look for compromise. And yeah. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's got it all figured out, but a lot of us like to think we are, and a lot of us like to think we do. And, I guess, to be that righteous is to not be that righteous. To claim we have wisdom is to have no wisdom at all. To claim we know everything is to know nothing at all. But the all in all, it is the old hermaphroditic teachings that brought magic to this world and opened us up to metaphysical aspects that can alter reality. And right now in 2024, I do believe there is a huge energy shift happening. And you got to remember, it's all right now, it all resides on the power of the mind and how you think. And we may be going through some tumultuous times, but it's really in the mind's eye. You can protect yourself, you can shield yourself from negative things by being grateful, because gratitude is the most powerful of all magic, right? Gratitude is light. Gratitude is just finding the silver lining in everything. Gratitude is being thankful and grateful for whatever it is that you do have. A lot of you have a home, right? You have shelter, you have a roof over your head. Guess what? There's a lot of people that don't have that. You don't know that because you're stuck in your house. You need to step outside your door, take a look around, and then, there's lots of judgments we can have, and maybe you know some of your local vagabonds, but maybe you don't know them all, and you don't know what's happened to them, and you don't know the mental health issues that they've been dealing with, and the lack of care that they've, you know, that's been basically absent from their life. Like, people have all kinds of different things going on right now, and you can you know, we can all thank social engineering. It's not a conspiracy. It's a real thing. It's happening. It's everywhere. And, you know, by design, you know, and by the person with the most marketing money, right? Because it's all about advertising. It's about all about getting your attention. And not always can I have your attention. I can't get your attention because it's, you know, on Instagram, or it's here, or it's there. You know, you got something else going on, or you're part of the drama, or you know, you're listening to the drama, or you're involved in the drama, or you just created the drama, or, you know, I mean, do you ever just stop in your tracks and smell the roses? Do you ever look up in the sky and enjoy the view? Do you ever just take time out, enjoy nature, take your shoes off, take your socks off? Let the sole of your foot, your heel, be grounded in the dirt in Gaia. You know, the planet that we live on, you know, it's living, it's alive, it has its own soul, has its own spirit. It's living, it's breathing, it feels. Treat it well, treat it well. Because this world was not given to you by your parents. It was loaned to you by your children's children. Enough about all that stuff. Let's get on with it, shall we?
Yeah, let's not go grocery shopping together.
Oh my god. Oh. So my whole life trying to get healthy and you're trying to kill me.
I'm not trying to kill you, baby.
When you hear this sound, turn the page.
There's 36 steps to do this, 3 steps to do that, 101 ways to skin a cat, 12 rules of life, the 9 leadership virtues, the 8 disciplines of this, the 5 ways to know if you're an emotionally intelligent person. I wonder, like, what happens to you, like, if you fail that test and they're like, oh, you're not emotionally intelligent. Emotional intelligence is important. It's important for mental health. Lord knows I've lost mine a few times. That emotional intelligence, when you go from happy to mad just like that and become polarized. You know, whether it's positive, negative, can you remain neutral? That's important for a magician. A magician must remain neutral. You cannot let the polarities affect you if you want to change what's going on around you, if you want to perform a miracle, if you want to embrace some magic in your life. Like, you know, all the different stepped programs, how to do this, how to do that. It all comes down to thinking though, right? It's a change in the way that you're currently thinking. It's changing a particular habit that you know, a habitual way of thinking. And how else are you going to make that change without thinking differently? You are the guardian of your ears and your eyes. You are in charge of what kind of information you let in and what to do with that information. It's just like an inbox for your email. You know, you got junk mail, you got stuff you need to delete, right? You got a box of stuff that's good, like, hey, I was looking for that email, I wanted that email, the important stuff. But how often are you taking your time out to go through that and say, hey, that's junk, that information is junk, I don't want that, delete it, get rid of it, put it in the right file folder. Got a lot of mixed emotions going on, a lot of mixed messages, and a lot of crap in your inbox that you need to sort through. But when you learn to change your thinking, your life will begin to change. There's songs about it, there's poetry about it, There's books about it. There's real life examples about it. There's everything about it. So what's stopping you? And here's the other thing. It's all up to you. It all starts with self-image, right? Like, it all starts with how you perceive yourself and how you perceive that other people would perceive you. So if you're just like a construction worker and you want to perceive yourself as somebody wearing a suit and tie and going to all these wonderful pampered events for the best of the best and in whatever field that you're in, you can do that. You know why? I know that because I did that. Because I was dirty at a restaurant. I was actually Dairy Queen. And I was filthy from working, and it was lunchtime. And these sharp-dressed men came in there and sat down and, you know, got their meal too. And I just remember there were some pretty girls in that Dairy Queen there that day. And I remember thinking, like, they wouldn't even look at me looking like a dirt bag, like a dirt ball. But then you got these sharp-dressed guys, and, like, maybe they have a chance type of thing. And I would never have a chance unless I was dressed like that. And not that any of that stuff really matters so much, but I'm like, I would love to be able to dress like that. What does it take to dress like that? How could I dress like that? Because I'm looking at them, and I'm like, I know they're not smarter than me. I know I'm smart. I know I'm extremely intelligent. What makes them any more intelligent or any smarter than me? As a matter of fact, they're probably maybe not even as smart as me, but maybe they are. You know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they are, but if they can do it, I can do it. If they can think it, I can think it. If I take the exact same steps that they took to get where they're at, I should be able to get the exact same results. Well, lo and behold, all that became true. And one day, for over 15 years, I wore a suit and tie, and I worked the corporate grind, slaved away, did all the things I was supposed to do right. And, you know, and then that got old too. All right, because what was that getting me? You know, had the perfect little storybook life, TV life, you know, for many, many years. And then one day that's all taken out from underneath you. You go through a divorce and you sell your house and you're going through your midlife crisis. You don't know what you're going to do with your life or whatever. So what I did, like everybody else wants to do, you know, I wanted to move to an island, disappear, explore new territory, you know, change my environment. And in the process of that, my whole life began to change. We'll talk about some of those things coming up on some of these podcasts. But for right now, I need you to realize, though, just like for me, and I have to realize that if I want change in my life, it's not up to you to change that for me. It's up to me to change that for me. And it's not easy, but it is easy. The hardest part is controlling those thoughts and control. And it starts really with all the noise that you decide to block out. And when you take that self-care time for yourself, that you're sifting and sorting through those thoughts and messages that are coming to you and making sure that you're putting in, you know, the junk mail, you know, that it goes in the delete bin, and you're getting the crap out, and you're focusing on the things that you do want, and you're thinking about the thoughts that you do want. Instead of all your problems throughout the day, focus on all the things that you can be grateful for. Hey, you know, you might got your internet bill or your phone bill and you know, and it's past due and they're going to turn it off, but in the meanwhile, maybe it's still on. And if it's not on, well, that gives you time to read books, gives you time to do something different, gives you time to go outside and explore nature. Find something good in the bad. Find the higher, you know, the better. There's always something. You can focus on whatever we want, but and as they say, perception is reality. So change your perception. It's all about your perception and how you perceive things, how you perceive yourself, self-image, and so much more. We are going to start reading from Mike Dooley's book, the author, Notes from the Universe, Infinite Possibilities, The Art of Living Your Dreams. And we're going to be discussing beliefs. So what is a belief? My opinion, my definition, same as Abraham Hicks, is a thought. A belief is just a thought you keep thinking. Simple as that. But let's dissect it a little bit more. Hold tight and I'll be right there. Oh, fun. What's fun? Dissecting things. That's fun. Dissecting beliefs. I mean, anything that affects our thinking affects our lives. And nothing else affects our thinking more than our beliefs. In this chapter, I'll touch on the fundamentals of how our beliefs shape thoughts and thus our world. First of all, thinking is believing. Day in and day out, we're always unavoidably thinking thoughts. And surprisingly, we're hardly aware of what most of them are. Yet, as we perpetually think these thoughts, we also perpetually visualize, anticipate, expect, and ultimately manifest the life we lead. We unconsciously, yet effortlessly, breathe life into our own experiences, giving little, if any, attention to our thoughts and the mechanics involved. And so it should be, but what we ought to at least become aware of is that our normal, everyday thoughts and wandering imaginations that compose most of our thoughts, so it's these thoughts that are responsible for bringing out about just, you know, about most of our experiences. So the billion-dollar question is, how can I direct the stream of my countless daily thoughts so that they work to serve my needs and desires? And the billion-dollar answer is by aligning your beliefs with the life of your dreams. As one believes, so shall one think. In other words, to master your thoughts and imagination, and therefore your life and destiny, you must first master the caption, your beliefs, by ensuring that your beliefs about reality are your place in it, are in alignment with your dreams. Like, you can rest assured that you will naturally and automatically be thinking the good thoughts, even when you're not paying attention. These, in turn, will become the things and events of your life. Believing is thinking. To believe with, what are beliefs? To begin with. All right, a little self-humiliation there. But to begin with, what are beliefs? Well, let me give you a few examples by asking you some simple questions that can be answered with two or three descriptive words. First, what do you think of people in general? Like, for instance, are they kind, trustworthy, and good-hearted? Or are they shallow, naive, and lazy? Okay, now what do you think of life in general? Like, is it easy, hard, exciting, or boring? Or in good health? Is it elusive or predictable? And do you have it, or do you wish you did? And tell me more about yourself. Are you creative, stubborn, determined, carefree, or disappointed? Are you persistent, or are you lazy? No matter how you answered those questions, you've just shared with me some of your beliefs. So here's the catch. You think your answers are simply innocent observations about your reality and yourself. But instead, they've actually helped create your reality. So if you think life is hard, for example, trust me, it becomes hard. It wasn't hard to begin with, not until you started thinking it was. So over time, however, you stop seeing this observation as your opinion and you begin seeing it as a fact of life. And thus, the belief was born. We have thousands of beliefs. They're not all undesirable, but they do become the de facto police officers of our thoughts. They create rules for our thinking, and these rules are the most rigid ones we live by. You see, apart from what would be a very short list of life's absolutes or truths of beings, there are almost no rules. Here's a brief list of these absolutes or truths, which I have deduced from my own life experiences and observations. So one, the truths of being, life's absolutes. You know, we are all one of one, of God, divine, interconnected. Nothing can exist outside of God or be non-God. To be non-God, where would it come from? What would it be made of? I mean, this is perhaps the most basic and obvious truth. It's easy to deduce with the slightest contemplation, leading the obvious conclusion. And espoused by many religions, that there has only ever been, and therefore could only have ever been, one God. Well, all that is seen, and all that is unseen. It's pure God. So every grain of sand, the vacuums of space, every thought, every one of us is pure God. It's only been our virtually exclusive resilience upon our physical senses to interpret reality and to pass judgment that makes it tricky to grasp. And that leads us to want to see everything in duality. You know, we see life as either or, as black or white, causing some to assume that if there's a God, there must be some opposite, you know, of God, right? Well, there isn't. There can't be. Thoughts become things. We are creators, literally. Our thoughts, being pure God for the prior truth, have an energy and a life force all of their own. Our thoughts are alive, aware, and active. This is not to imply that they have human-like characteristics, just as we don't generally ascribe such characteristics to a zebra or a rose, even though both are pure God. But our thoughts have their own brand of awareness and their own characteristics and properties of consciousness. Within time and space, one such property is that our thoughts immediately, intelligently seek to be physically manifested. Seen through the prism of time, God becomes consciousness, becomes awareness, becomes thought, becomes matter. Such transformations neither diminish it nor make it any less God. And life consciousness, God energy, we ourselves, you know, it's eternal. We are the creators of the illusionary dimension of time. Einstein himself called it relative. So we must exist before it, and we will exist after it. Granted, this may, again, stretch those who rely exclusively upon their physical sense to interpret reality, but doesn't our mere essence, our mere existence, being clearly independent of our physical bodies, evidenced by the nighttime dream state, countless near-death and out-of-body reports in our streaming and stream of walking consciousness, none of which can logically be the product of our cells, atoms, or molecules, or, you know, I mean, make this obvious? And if our awareness is independent of our body, it must then be independent of space and therefore independent of time. Time is simply an attribute or a measure of space and are one and the same, like an X and a Y axis that creates the planet. Without time, you cannot have the space and vice versa. I mean, there is only love. There's only God, similar to, if not the same as, the first truth. This pharisology, I don't know, this type of oology allows us to introduce the concept of love. Look, mustn't some form of love, divine love, undoubtedly far beyond what we practice as human love, be the motivation and reason behind all relativity, reality? I mean, without love, which is a form of caring, why bother creating worlds and developing consciousness? Furthermore, when it comes to infinite divine intelligence or the creator of all things, could there possibly exist even the tiniest pocket in reality that was forgotten, tainted, or miscreated into anything that wasn't full of divine love? I mean, this brings us to the next truth. It's all good. Everything is exactly as it should be. Again, similar to prior truths above, yet stated this way, this absolute allows for another concept to be addressed: chance. In divine mind, even while all things remain possible, with infinite possibilities for expansion into unimaginable realms. In the deepest sense, ultimate outcomes such as growing, learning, and remaining one with the divine mind after the adventure, where not left to chance, right? There's no possibility for mistake, no accidents. Accidents should have maybe, or hope so, because the general potentials for development were all seen and understood at a higher level before our adventure began. As an analogy, while there exists an infinite number of roads to Rome, none of them change Rome. And just because to us, from our extremely limited perspectives, it seems that bad things happen in the grandest scheme of things, this becomes an impossible conclusion. Further, taking into account that we are pure God, pure energy, eternal, living in an adventure dream world of our own creation, and that no matter what happens in this adventure, we all return to our celestial source, wiser, whole, enriched, and all-powerful. The only conclusion that exists is that it's truly all good. You know, this is not meant to be an all-inclusive, as each of the truths could have a number of spin-offs, such as those offered in the parentheses. But, you know, the list is sufficient to obtain a solid grasp on the nature of our reality and to begin applying our power to fantastic effect. You know, I'd also like to point out that there's, of these truths, only one has a moving part, a variable, and that's thoughts become things. And look who's thinking now. Because these truths are absolute. You know, they are for us like water is to a fish. Indisputably givens, right? They are immovable. They exist even in the absence of belief in them. In creating a stage, you know, we live our lives upon, right? Our course, you know, of action here. Like, of course, you know, it could all be said that these are merely my beliefs. And frankly, I have very little concrete evidence to convince you that they are true, especially since they're not physically measurable. But must something be physically measurable to know with it with certainty of its existence? Is not being able to physically prove you dreamed of a red Corvette last night proof that you didn't? I mean, is it unreasonable to ask that we look at our own lives for evidence of these truths? Is it not evident that my postulated absolutes are each empowering, that I do not have an agenda other than to free you from your self-imposed limitations, that unlike many religious doctrines, I mean, I exclude no one, seriously, under any circumstances, from the beauty of these truths? Do they not resonate deep within you? Have they not been uttered and shared by countless others throughout the ages, using words and metaphors that fit the times? I mean, seriously, if this kind of thinking is new to you, you may well have some hesitation in accepting it. But I can tell you that as an extreme student of life, in the past 30 years, I have thought of and sought out every imaginable challenge to these absolutes. And with time and through expanding my own thinking wildly, you know, outside the box, they have withstood every assault. Moreover, I can use them to understand and handedly explain any life scenario. I mean, to master your thoughts and imagine, and therefore your life and destiny, you must first master their caption, your beliefs. Because of these truths, we are limitless in virtually any way we can imagine, unless we believe otherwise. And then suddenly, we've got rules, limits, and conditions, even while these absolutes will not bend, because they don't bend. The experiences and manifestations they make possible to have. The tricky aspect of belief is that without our even knowing it. You know, they limit what we allow ourselves to think and therefore what we can manifest into our lives. You know, the obscure, the fact that things could be different, for instance, if you believe that life's deepest secrets can't be or aren't meant to be known by mortal minds, then not only would you not dwell on life's meaning and block out all new thoughts that could have drawn such answers to you, but your perceptions of what you do observe in life, they will be tunneled by your belief, zeroing you in on the evidence that supports your theory. You might even say to yourself that you're open to contradictory evidence. Yet, if you don't believe it could exist based on your first belief, any evidence will be diminished in rationalized ways. So your beliefs act like filters through which every thought must be sifted. You know, but these filters are invisible, but not unknowable. Let's pretend that the beliefs are like tinted sunglasses and that your vision through those glasses represents the thoughts you entertain through the filters of your beliefs. Doesn't everything look color-wise when you put on those glasses? Yet, after you have them on for a while, like, you don't even notice that you're wearing them. I mean, in fact, it's hard to remember what things look like without them. And the only way to remember is to take them off. Continuing this analogy, let's just imagine that everyone in the world wears sunglasses and that no two people have exactly the same tint. Everyone is wearing something different. Some wear blue blocker sunglasses that make everything look yellow, while some wear red blockers and green blockers, and there's a billion varieties in between. But now, does the fact that everyone is wearing different sunglasses have any effect on reality? On what people see, or just how they see it? Isn't it possible that some people will see color, even things that are impossible for others to see? And isn't it often easier to see the glasses others wear than it is to see our own? I think you get the idea. Beliefs are actually the same in this regard. Most of the time, we don't even know we have them on, let alone how they're operating, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. When our beliefs are in alignment with our dreams, they'll serve us. But if they're not, big, big problem. Fortunately, beliefs are similar to sunglasses in that we don't have to wear the ones we don't like. So beliefs create a matrix of sorts, arranging and processing our thoughts systematically and without judgment, and giving us, in effect, the permission mechanism to think or not to think along certain lines. For instance, you might want something with all your heart and soul, but without believing it is possible, you simply will not and cannot maintain the thoughts necessary to bring them into fruition. You know, this explains why it's your hopes and fears you believe to be the most plausible that you usually manifest, because they've been allowed and most play in your mind. These thoughts that exist just outside how you define plausibility, whether outrageously wonderful or diabolically awful, are generally not manifested because they're far too difficult to believe in, and therefore too difficult to clearly imagine and feel. So take a moment and notice what kind of thoughts you do think, and when you're driving your own car or running errands, do you automatically see yourself being interviewed by Times Magazine? Do you see yourself winning the Nobel Peace Prize? Do you imagine buying a vacation home in some exotic country halfway around the globe? I mean, not likely, nor I imagine think about absolute doom and destruction, unending misery and pain or destitution or poverty. Like, you don't think these thoughts because they're not in alignment with your beliefs, which explains why most people people's lives are generally stay about the same. When we keep thinking the same kinds of thoughts in line with our relatively unchanging beliefs, this is also why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, not because the truth about capitalism or a statement about our society No, none of that stuff. But because they keep thinking the same kinds of thoughts, they've always been thinking, like, either abundance or it's lack, based upon their underlying beliefs. So let me follow this line of thinking with a suggestion. Since virtually all of our beliefs form an interrelated mosaic with themselves, when there's something you want right away, don't set your goal too high, because you may not believe it in it enough to begin visualizing it properly or regularly. Like, I think you know what I mean. I'm not saying don't dream big or, you know, even huge. I'm just saying pace yourself and give yourself some, you know, intermediary goals too. And I'm also saying this because, like, if you want something too badly or you think about it too much, you will demagnetize yourself to it from a magician standpoint. For example, you know, if right now you're driving a Toyota Corolla, and you could probably imagine owning a Mercedes as your next car, you know, rather than a Lamborghini, right? So once you get your Mercedes, aim higher and higher. All the while, of course, an exotic import can still be on your list of cars to own one day, though not necessary, with an instance that it might be next month. By staging your dreams this way, it's even possible that your dream of eventually owning an exotic car will enhance your dreams of owning a Mercedes, as the Mercedes will be seen as an exciting stepping stone that will make even greater things possible. Plus, if you insist on the Lamborghini first and you don't get it due to a maze of interrelated conflicting beliefs that you may just write off, you know, visualization altogether as a waste of time. But similarly, if you never take vacations but would like to, perhaps, you know, beginning by imagining yourself at Walt Disney World rather than Luxor, Egypt. If you're sick and bedridden, perhaps imagine yourself gardening, cooking, or shopping rather than winning marathons. I mean, if you're bored and lonely, imagine a friend or in a happy outing rather than walking the red carpet at you know, the Academy Awards. Follow your feelings when setting goals. Be moderately reasonable for the short term goals, and when you can, strive to understand any emotional resistance you encounter, because this resistance means you've hit some limiting beliefs that need exploring. On the other hand, if you make your goals too easy, they won't inspire you, and your visualizations of them may lack, you know, emotion. Inspire yourself, just not to the point of getting psyched out.
Those who start wars never fight them. And those who fight wars, they never like them. And those who write laws, they can recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. No, never ever gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. No, never ever gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. It's time.
Like, good God, is this guy serious? Listen, Starlight, Star Bright, first star that I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might get this wish that I wish tonight. I wish to be a narrator like Morgan Freeman in every movie coming at you live. Entertaining,
and with wonderful sound effects. Because I, too, can make that sound. Any sound that narrates them all. Alright, so I'm a little full of myself, but check it out. If you know somebody, hook me up, because I can't do this shit on my own.